From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Well, hey, kids, look at that. It's like Silent Night sort of stuff. It's like, we're expecting Santa any second here, and are we prepared at all for this show? I'm just kind of wondering.
How about new?
Dude, let me tell you, after all of the rapping, after all of the eating, and after all of the drinking, and after all of that stuff, it's just like... We're going to go ahead and do the best we can, and we'll let Ric Flair take over for the rest of the show, so then that way he can go ahead and do, like, album selections and all that sort of shit. You know how it is. Did most other people give birds back then? You know what? I don't know. And I have absolutely no idea. Ron, I've got no answers for you on that one. But I'll tell you what. Seeing as how it's like this very special night of the year, and we're in this threesome of intimacy right now, nothing says like Christmas Eve, like a reading of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And who's going to read "'Twas the Night Before Christmas"? Hey, Carlos, is it going to be LP over here? I'm just wondering.
No.
Absolutely not. Why would I do it when we could just get William Shatner to go ahead and do it for us? I mean, doesn't William Shatner reading you the "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" like absolutely bring together the essence of the holiday season? Does it actually go ahead and make us feel like Christmas is here?
How about new?
Yeah, I don't think so. So we'll have to go ahead and work on this. I can't make any promises, of course, that, we're prepared for this evening because I ate way too much and I had too much to drink. And you know what? That's the way Christmas Eve is supposed to be, according to
Rick.
Because, you know, that's the way it is, man. We got to go ahead and get ourselves. But I'll tell you what. You know something? Maybe what we can do is we can take a look and have some respect for people who have some strong convictions about what the spirit of Christmas should be. Like, for instance, this dude who went ahead and threatened to burn down every pub if a visit from Santa and his reindeer isn't canceled. I mean, that, kids, that is conviction. And, of course, it's always from the Toronto Sun because, as our good friend Nine Claws can go ahead and say, you know, it's got to come from Toronto if it's as fucked up as this, right? Now, we're not talking this is like gravy martinis like what we were talking about earlier, you know, a couple of episodes ago. This isn't like the Auto Blow 2000 where it's got a safe for you to store all of your stuff in it while you have a machine that effectively creates oral sex for you on a wonderful AI and makes sticky kinds of bills stuck together and shit like that. But this is a person with convictions. So if you've got an activist over here who's threatening to burn down a pub if the visit from Santa's reindeer are not canceled. So an animal rights activist was threatening to burn down a UK pub with its owners in it if a Christmas event with Santa and his reindeers weren't canceled. I mean, hey, listen to me.
How dare you?
Right? Come on now. Come on now. Here's the spirit of Christmas. So Steve and Rebecca Eccles, who run the Saddle Inn in Fulford, England, plan to do what they did last Christmas. Bring some joy with Santa, some elves, and the big guy's reindeer as a treat for the local kids. However, Freedom for Animals had a different plan and suggested that supporters contact the pub and ask that they opt for an animal-free event instead. Visiting children will still be able to meet Santa and his elves, receive presents, and enjoy all the magic of Christmas without having to bear witness to stressed, imprisoned reindeer in a miserable little pen.
How dare you?
The couple was inundated with emails from all over the world, you freaking animal haters. You know
How
what I'm
dare
saying?
You?
Asking them to leave out the reindeer because you people, you abusers. One person, however, went a step too far and threatened to kill the couple if the event went on as planned. I understand and respect your views. However, receiving threatening emails to burn the pub down with us in it if we continue to plan visit from Santa and his reindeer. This crosses the line,
man. How dare you?
Read the Facebook post from the pub. So they contacted the police, who suggested it was best to cancel the whole thing and, like, cave into these folks. And, you know, obviously we have to take this seriously for the safety of our staff and visitors. And at the advice of the police, we're going to have to cancel this event. You fucking Grinches out there. That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you what. Listen, protesters, listen. When you're sitting here going ahead and making some threats that you're going to burn down a pub, I mean, listen, that, whatever, okay, maybe I'll go ahead and take you seriously. Maybe I won't. You want to know what shows me true conviction? What shows me true conviction is when you're like this dude who decides to glue his head to the fucking pavement and protest before, you know, so that he can go ahead and stop the fucking climate change people over in the UK from passing a bill or whatever the fuck it is.
How dare you?
You know, over in Congress. That is true dedication. You show me, kids, you know, threatening to burn something down doesn't mean shit. Taking epoxy rosin and smashing your face into the pavement and gluing it there, maybe I'll listen to you or at least be entertained. You know what I'm saying? So a determined, insolent Britain protester glued his head to the ground as the group blocked a busy section in central London. Around 30 demonstrators brought traffic to a standstill over in Liverpool Street. So a headstrong activist who gave his name only as Matthew said he had his head glued to the road stage of protest. He said, if you look at the government response to the climate emergency and the number of heat pumps they're looking to put in, they're looking to put in about 90,000 out of 25 million. That's less than 1/3 of 1%. It's not really responding to an emergency. So he felt some conviction, man. So what he did was he added that he had no idea if gluing his face to the road would result in a head injury. Hopefully not. We'll find out if there's blood. So he was eventually peeled off the street and carried to a van by police officers.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude. You're scraped off the fucking street like a piece of bubble gum off the bottom of a desk. You know what I mean? Just like, dit. But he's got convictions, and we've got to go ahead and say, hey, listen, I respect you for that. So if you're looking to go ahead and, like, burn down a pub, we're not impressed. But if you glue your face to the street, we might go ahead and actually start to listen to what you have to say about Santa and his reindeers being abused and put in some sort of hostile situations and, you know, put on parade, like, you know, in some sort of, like, inhumane way.
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying there? So get a clue. And, I mean, of course, during this holiday season, right, we're always looking for that unique gift to go ahead and get someone. Something that captures the essence of really what it is we're trying to communicate. And Ron, I think somebody was out there looking out just for you. Because apparently what happens is an ex-McDonald's worker discovered a raunchy McDonald's Ronald McDonald toy. And a former worker over in the fast food giant left Facebook users traumatized after sharing a picture of disturbing old Ronald McDonald toy that he discovered in a charity shop. And I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
That would be a stocking stuffer I'd have to go ahead and stick over in someone's stocking this holiday season, if anything. Unfortunately, we didn't cover this in that last-minute gift ideas in the last show that we had right before Christmas. And you know something? Why do you have breasts? Oh, so Ronald McDonald, the face of the fast food chain, is remembered fondly by many children's parties and nostalgic adverts, but a raunchy find in a charity shop will leave some quite disturbed. The family-friendly clown, allegedly, who represents the fast food chain, has left one former employee disturbed after seeing the clown in a new light. Cy Ewing couldn't believe it after he discovered a bizarre Ronald McDonald figurine in a charity shop, showing the clown in Speedos with fries sticking out of the top.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's just say that again. Cy Ewing couldn't believe it after he discovered a bizarre Ronald McDonald figurine in a charity shop, showing the clown in Speedos with fries sticking out of the top. Dude, you know what would have been great is if we could have gone ahead and actually had, like, Ric Flair there to have him go ahead and sort of develop the helicopter dick strut down the aisle while fries were, like, coming out, protruding out of the top of his fucking jock. That would be epic, And I mean, but I digress. So he took to Facebook and shared his distress with others who were traumatized by the findings. I mean,
how dare you?
I have no words. Ironically, I used to work at McDonald's in my teens, and this scared me, the 41-year-old wrote.
Woo!
In the event that you're wondering what exactly this particular figurine looks like, hold on, let me go ahead and drop a copy of the image into the room here, and you too can go ahead and be horrified like everybody else and ask yourself, would you like fries with that? That's probably the greatest figurine ever. I really need to go to the same charity shop and actually get one. But, you know, you have to go ahead and come up with some enterprising stuff for the holiday season to try and actually get the things that you need. Sort of like get some spending money or perhaps create a craft or whatever the hell it is that you want to go ahead and need. He called it. And I'll tell you what, nothing is so awesome as like when you can go ahead and, you know, if you're over in like South Africa, you can be a pastor and jar up your farts. But you know what? Hey, listen, 90 Day Fiancé star over here, she's jarring up her farts for $45,000 a jar.
And I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, listen, you can get 2,000 people waiting in line to grab your farts for like $10 a jar. Or you could be 90 Day Fiancé and she'll sell them for $45,000 a piece because, I mean, they're rare. You know what I'm saying? Why doesn't she just go ahead and make a fucking NFT of her farts and go ahead and sell it around the world? I'm just kind of wondering. Mega simple alert. Exactly, Greg. Exactly. I would have thought that you were playing Santa Claus right about now, considering you're about two hours ahead, dude. NFT your farts, man. That's the way you do it. So Stephanie Mottos, who starred on the TV series 90 Day Fiancé, she revealed her very lucrative and very stinky side hustle. She sells her farts in a jar. The former reality star posted multiple videos on TikTok about her fart sharing. Her first one titled, Day in the Life of a Girl Who Sells Her Farts in a Jar. Oh, my God.
I mean, what the fuck?
It's got 6.6 million views on it.
I mean, what the fuck?
Hold on a second.
I mean, what the fuck?
You know something? I don't know what disturbs me more. The fact that we have, like, a Botox and ass implant problem with a beauty pageant for camels over in Saudi Arabia, or somebody who's sitting here talking about jarring up their farts who sells them for $45,000 a piece and gets 6.6 million views. Dude, the end of the world is here. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
I'm just saying the end of the fucking world is here. But I digress, man. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. The former reality star, she posted these videos on here and she explained what she ingests to make the perfect, containable, sellable fart. All right, kids.
I mean, what the fuck?
Get out your notebook because there will be questions on this later. So get ready for the pop quiz. We'll be discussing this. In the event that you're trying to create this perfectly jarable, perfectly capturable, freaking like, you know, thing here, the perfectly containable fart, here's the recipe. Ready? 1. Beans, a protein muffin, yogurt, hard-boiled eggs. They all usually do the trick for Motto. She added that while she loves to read while waiting for those farts to develop before unleashing them into a jar.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm just like unleashing them into a jar. Could you imagine, right? She's sitting there cramming down a couple of bean burritos, right? Maybe a few hard-boiled eggs to get that really like sulfury mix in there so she can go ahead and create her own like herbal infusion type of fart that she could go ahead and put inside there, right? She's got a jar like just wedged up between those cheeks right up against that starfish, and she's reading. And I'm wondering what it is that she's reading that causes that rumble, that sort of like just little bit to go ahead and push you over the edge. I mean, is she reading sonnets by like Kim Jong-il or something like that? Over in for Kim Jong-un over in freaking like North Korea? Or is she like, I don't know, what is she fucking reading? The latest Goop stuff, you know, like the magazine, looking at the latest things. Is that what goes ahead and instills this, or sort of like instigates this rumbly in the tumbly, and then she goes ahead and just lets it rip right in there? I mean, here's my question, right? So the market decides sort of the rate of farts, right? So she's paying $45,000. So is that for just like a straight up fart or is that a wet fart? You know what I'm saying? Do queefs add more value or are they less? I'm just kind of curious about this. It's this morbid curiosity of how exactly is there discovery in the market of farts and stuff. I'm unsure about this, and perhaps I really shouldn't go ahead and dig deeper into this whole thing because that would be a little bit fucking weird. You know what I'm saying? But I digress, man. At any rate, so high protein in a follow-up video, she informed her fans that her farts made her 45 grand in 1 week. It bears repeating, 45 grand in 1 week for jars of farts. And again, I'm asking myself, right, is that on a simple fart? Is that a wet fart? Is that a queef or is that a wet fart queef combo? I'm not entirely sure. Is it multiple farts or just one? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of questions that really need some answers. Where's the investigative reporting on this shit when you need it? You know what I'm saying, man?
How dare you?
But at any rate, she's saying to herself, I think my main motivation was money. But I also thought it'd be a hilarious publicity move that would get a lot of people's attention. And it's definitely worked. My inbox is flooded daily with people wanting to purchase jars of her farts, with some requesting videos of her creating the jar. I think I've really tapped into a huge market, and there seems to be endless potential. Dude, let me tell you something. You can go ahead and see that civilization, it's like about to end here any second, okay? So I'll tell you what, kids. Let's go ahead and ponder on this a little bit while we take a break here. And, you know, LP's going to have to go ahead and do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're not prepared way too much. We had too much festivities earlier, and we still got to go ahead and do the Santa stuff upstairs and put all the presents down. Got to do all the things that got to go ahead and take care of. You know what I'm saying? Because Santa Claus is coming to town, and I got to get my gifts for my kids upstairs at some point this evening. So, kids, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to go and, I don't know, do what. But we got some music lined up here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Agitator of the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Well, kids, it's Christmas Eve, this particular show on this Friday night. We're waiting for Santa Claus to slide down the chimney with his velvety sack so that we can go ahead and find some new toys to play with in the early morning hours of Christmas morning. So here we are killing some time with LP Faust because who on earth would want to go ahead and have it any other way? Why not just have some fucked up stories for your Christmas holiday? What a way to slide into freaking Christmas morning. Be like, are you kidding me, dude? So what sort of things did we talk about in that first segment? If you missed it, you came late. We were talking about activists who threatened to go ahead and blow up and burn down a pub if, like, a visit from Santa's reindeer weren't canceled. We went ahead and talked about somebody who had true conviction and glued his face to the road for his beliefs with epoxy rosin because nothing says getting scraped off of the road like bubblegum off the bottom of a desk. That shows true conviction, right? I mean, you got road rash on your face. Maybe some of your, like, skin is sitting there on the road. It could be a memento, you know what I'm saying? Did you see a Florida man with drugs around his penis? No, I did not. No, I did not, Gray, but that's okay. I've been a little bit preoccupied. We talked about this crazy, weird, fucking McDonald's, Ronald McDonald doll. And if you haven't gone ahead and actually seen the picture of it, check out Ron's fantastic figurine that he made of himself. I'm sure it'll be an NFT soon. And, of course, we talked about this woman with this fantastic side hustle of jarring up her farts for 45 grand. And we were kind of wondering about what exactly is the price schedule for these things? Where are the extras? Where are the incentives? We're all kind of wondering whether, you know, just how one goes ahead and builds an entire, like, craft sort of, like, hobby-type thing. I mean, some of us went and did sourdough bread. The rest of us went ahead and did shit like, I don't know, open up an Etsy store. Why do that when you can just jar your farts up for 45 grand and sell them to simps everywhere? Because, hey, man, we're not doing it right if you're not doing it that way. So why not just go ahead and continue on with this fucked up weird trend that we're going ahead and doing? Somebody said to me, you know what you really should do? I'm thinking you need to go ahead and actually create a shirt that just says Joculation WTF, you know, question mark. That should be your branding. That should be your shirt. And I'm like, you know something?
Woo!
There might be some truth to this. But we'll talk about that another time, because are we talking branding tonight? I'm just kind of wondering.
How about you?
Let me tell you something. You know who they should have gotten to go ahead and actually do that Ronald McDonald doll? And I'm kind of thinking maybe they actually did. Is the same dude that they had do the Madame Tussauds Rihanna wax figure that was made by somebody who never saw Rihanna before?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, nothing says authenticity quite like, hey, could you go ahead and make me a wax figurine of Rihanna over there? And her saying, the person saying, sure, no problem. And just becoming an artistic sort of like artistic freedom, free artistic license to go ahead and create some kind of thing that allegedly looks like Rihanna. So apparently the Madame Tussauds Rihanna wax figure was made by somebody who's never seen Rihanna. And, you know, Madame Tussauds is no stranger to controversy. From the badly botched Beyonce through the Michael Jackson dispute, the figure of Donald Trump, which didn't have any of the problems except that people kept punching it, and Rihanna, add that to the list of the infamous waxworks, because the Berlin branch of Madame Tussauds is displaying a Holly Jolly Rihanna figure, but its likeness to the singer isn't so naughty or nice as it is utterly fucking perplexing. Madame Tussauds first unveiled Rihanna's wax figure back in 2011, and it sported her then-go-to short red hair. But museum updates its figures from time to time, and in keeping with the holiday spirit, it gave this superstar a Christmas makeover. Faux Rihanna, who first of all does not look black, sports a skimpy Santa suit and pearls with some terrible, ugly bangs. Her facial features are also completely different. Again, this is not a black woman, but at least they got the tattoos right. So Rihanna may not be releasing an album anytime soon, but she still stayed busy. And back in August, she had her Fenty thing and blah, blah, blah. And you know how it goes. So what I'm saying is, I'm thinking what I need to do is I need to commission this person to make my bust. So then that way there's a bust of LP out there somewhere that doesn't even look like LP. It'll probably look like that messed up Ronald McDonald that we just looked at. And I'm curious where they're going to go ahead and put the fries. Hell, maybe I should have them make a bust of me jarring my farts for sale. That would be fucking epic. And I'll bet you they wouldn't even capture the dimples and cottage cheese of my ass properly. So it'll be fantastic. I'll have to see what'll happen to come around when they go ahead and do my bust. But I'll tell you something, right? Where are we going to go ahead and stick with that? And what really irritates me, and this is where Kate Beckinsale and me, we're very much in the same vein of things. She gets pissed off when people assume she's had some Botox because, I mean, dude.
How dare you?
Aren't you aware that she's sitting here taking, like, foreskins of kids' penises and stuff like that and making facial cream out of it? I mean, do you fuckers even read the goddamn tabloids? That's what I'm saying. If you're going to go ahead and accuse her of some kind of shit, at least go ahead and make sure that you've got some sources to back it up. Where do you have to come to get all this authenticious information? You got to come here to Joculation, because only LP will go ahead and scour the sources and make sure that we've got some documented facts on hand, right? Remember back in the day, kids, when we're sitting here going ahead and like having a wonderfully intimate conversation way back at the beginning, right? When we talked about when it was Kate Beckinsale and what's-her-face from, Speed. I forget her name. She's very forgettable at the moment right now, but she recently had something on Netflix. But they were all the rage, right? Because you had your, like, beasting facials from that creepazoid, freakazoid weirdo over at Goop Labs sitting there. Hey, you know what I like to do? I like to take a hornet's nest, shove my face in there, get my face, like, stung with a bunch of bees until I look like a goddamn pimple ready to burst. And then somehow I microderm all of the skin, the old skin off my face, without causing my face to explode in a ball of pus, right? So she was doing that, and while she was trying to pimp that stuff out, allegedly, we go ahead and have Kate Beckinsale and what's-her-face from that movie years back over there talking about, hey, you know what? I like them to go ahead and harvest baby foreskins, allegedly, and create a cream to put on my face because we want stem cell therapy. So listen, man, don't sit here and start talking shit like, Kate Beckinsale. By the way, Kate, I understand where you're coming from. I hate it when people fuck up the news about me. Not that anyone's talking about me, but, you know, I hate when people fuck up news about me and talk about shit that I don't do. I mean, it's clear you don't go ahead and actually, like, you know, get Botox to the face because, let's face it, your eyebrows actually move up. you know, you have a little bit of life to your face and all that sort of stuff. But what you're really doing is having, like, allegedly, according to some of the sources that I found earlier, you know, baby foreskins on the face. So at any rate, in this latest news thing that she went ahead and did, she got candid about her cosmetic procedures and the assumption that women in Hollywood had them. I haven't had any, she said. Do we believe her for a second? I'm just kind of wondering over here, you know.
How about new?
Yeah, that's not like a brick of collagen in your lip that you went ahead and got like a home Botox, or excuse me, like a home collagen kit that we already know about. You went ahead and went to one of those beauty hacker sites, didn't you? And you started hammering in units of like collagen into your face until it got that nice square shape at the bottom of the lip. I'm just saying, I'm not judging. But let me go ahead and go on with this. Look at that. This isn't starting out good, LP. You're already going off on the first quote. I know. We'll just keep going on. I'm not against people having it, but do I get pissed off? It's sort of a given that I've had it, which I literally haven't. I'm frightened of paralyzing my face, but not spreading baby freaking like, you know, stem cells all over it. My mom's voice in my head is very loud at times, by the way, allegedly. My mom wouldn't even get a facial. She's suspicious of anything like that. And it looks fucking radiant and amazing. I don't know if I did do Botox. I'd be the one that would get the droopy eye, and my mom would go, I fucking told you, see? You should never do that. By the way, let's talk about that a second. She's got a valid point over there. Do you remember when we were talking about the girl that was hammering units of Botox into her face? She wanted to freshen up. She decided to go to the cosmetic surgery place. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those medical day spas where they have people who go ahead and put in, like, five proofs of purchase from the local Kellogg's breakfast cereal that they've gotten and maybe, like, I don't know, $500 and perhaps, like, a signed waiver from, like, their, you know, coach from, like, their freaking, you know, after-hours, like, league that they go ahead and join to go and become a medical day spa person, totally certified to go ahead and hammer units of, like, botulin into your face. Let's talk about botulin, kids. It fucking kills you. But it's okay. Let's go ahead and kill a few nerve endings inside there. All that's going to happen are the wrinkles are going to go away. And you remember that one chick that said, oh, shit, I started to look like a Salvador Dali painting as half my face slid, half my eyes started drooping and shit was sliding off my face. Right? So what was the answer? Oh, you know what? We just need to even you out. Let's just throw a few more units into your face. And that made people go, dude, really?
I mean, come on. What the fuck?
Well, apparently, Kate Beckinsale is at least did her research on this one. And despite being scared of Botox, she said she does enjoy the viral vampire facial, during which blood plasma is re-injected into the face and tightened for a glowy effect.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's just say that again. Vampire facial, during which blood plasma is re-injected into the face and Titan for a glowy effect.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I got a question. Did you get this from, like, fucking Goop Labs or something like that? Did Gwyneth Paltrow come over to you and say, hey, I got a great idea. We're going to go ahead and film an episode over on Netflix. Would you like to come join us? And did you go, you know something? I think that would be a fucking capital idea.
How about new?
Dude, what in the fuck is going on here? At any rate, so, as for her ageless appearance, she credits good genes because my family are generally on the younger-looking side, you fucking plebs. Even my dog, Nine, looks like a puppy because, well, you guys are fugly and you're a bunch of plebs. So, did she say that? Not necessarily all of that, but I did quote some of it. So, if you'd like to go ahead and find out what parts she actually did say, please, by all means, go ahead and reference the story that I went ahead and threw inside there and sit here and just ask yourself the question, do we think that she has gotten zero cosmetic surgery? I'm just saying, you know.
How about new?
And of course, during this holiday season, what we've got to do is we've got to sit there and have a little bit of tolerance for what the artistic sort of freedom of some of the people in the block around us, in the neighborhood close by, might be during this Christmas season. Perhaps you like to go ahead and trim your tree with a whole bunch of, like, tinsel and lights and stuff like that. Perhaps some of the other people like to trim their tree in other ways, or maybe, just maybe, you might like to trim your tree in such a way that your tree looks like a great big penis. I mean, dude, furious residents of a Russian village, they've lodged several complaints about their village Christmas tree, which strikes a remarkable resemblance to a penis, according to authorities. So, kids, if you'd like to see the full picture of this beautifully trimmed tree, this is capturing the essence of what is Christmas. Nothing says Christmas like a great big dick with a star on the top of it. I mean, that's just beautiful. That's just festive. But I digress. Let's hear their comments, right? Residents in a quaint village have been left fuming over a Christmas tree that looks like a penis since it was put up, right? The phallic-looking Christmas tree has led angry locals to lodge several complaints to authorities, according to television. It's located in the village of Vidim. If in the event that you'd like to go take a religious trek over to this tree and check out the penis that has the star on the top of it. And it's in the Lensky district of Russia's far eastern republic of Sakha. Due to the furious backlash, however, authorities in Vidim have been forced to tell the local media that the Christmas tree is still being worked on, specifying that they're going to add extra branches to make it less penis-like. I mean, dude, let me tell you something, okay?
I mean, what the fuck?
All you gotta do is tell them, dude, it doesn't look like a penis, right? See? Look, exactly. Exactly like that, Ron. And you know something? Gray is correct. That shit is all over Miami. Looks like a great big penis, spewing semen everywhere. And you know something? Does anybody sit there and basically justify, hey, listen, it looks like a penis? No. They just tell you if you don't like it, move on. Here they're like, you know, we'll just add a few branches to it because it looks too phallic-like. And, I mean, that's just a little bit weird. You know what I'm saying? But I digress. So, they went and said they'll add a few more branches to it. And a spokesperson said they're aiming for a, quote, more traditional look with baubles and decorations to be added. And, of course, I think about the vajazzling-like thing that went on, right, where people were sitting there and effectively putting glitter around their vaginas. Dude, this strikes me as some sort of, like, PJ'sling. You know what I'm saying? Uh-oh, it looks too penis-like. Hey, what do we do? I know, let's put a bunch of lights on it and some tinsel. That way, it'll be too glitzy for it to actually be a penis. And will that actually work? I'm just wondering.
How about new?
But it'll be very festive. It'll be a festive penis with a great big star on the top of it, right? It'll be vajazzled. It'll be sparkly. It'll dazzle everyone. The spokesperson said they're going to hang decorations. More work is underway. Finish everything by the end of the week, and I'll tell you something, a little bit of garland will go a long way. You know what I'm saying? It'll enhance and highlight those places that are really uncomfortable to go ahead and take a look at. And you know something? It'll be festive. It'll be wonderful. It's awesome. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here because you know why? I'm working too hard for this one. We're supposed to be sitting back playing more music, LP. Were we going to go ahead and do that this evening? I mean, I thought we had.
How about new?
Who knows, man? We'll have to see what the story is, but we're going to go ahead and take a break here. I'll tell you what. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural agitator of the stars, remaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. I'll tell you what, Clay. Those are the kind of things that will open up your third eye and your chakra. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Holy fucking hell. All right, kids. Hey, it's Friday night. It's Christmas Eve. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. You know what I'm saying? But the circle of intimacy, surprisingly, went from a threesome to something a little bit larger here. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
All right, so if you missed the earlier parts of the show, we were talking about activists that were threatening to burn down a pub if a visit from Santa and the reindeer weren't canceled. Get it out, LP. And then we went ahead and talked about true conviction of a guy epoxying his face to the concrete. We took a look at, you know, somebody going ahead and trying to, maybe it was that person that did the Rihanna doll. She went ahead and tried to, capture Ronald McDonald in his glory back in one of her vintage series over there of Ronald McDonald and friends and stuff like that. We went ahead and talked about the fantastic influencer that goes ahead and jars her farts up and sells them for like $45,000. And, wondering what the rate is for different types of farts. Wet fart versus just a regular old dry fart. We also talked about the proper recipe for what goes ahead and makes that fart work and how you can go ahead and generate those farts on command. We were talking about Kate Beckinsale and how she is upset when people are accusing her of getting Botox when we all know that she does other things. We talked about the phallic Christmas tree that everybody's upset about, but we really haven't gotten into the real important parts of it, right? Now, earlier today, I was reading that, like, United Airlines, Delta, and a few others have canceled hundreds of Christmas Eve flights because, you know, Omicron, coronavirus, and blah, 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 and so on. We've got, like, empty shelves all over the place, but, you know, Joe Biden's declaring that he's won the war on the supply chain crunch and all that stuff for Christmas. But you know what? That doesn't really talk to the heart of the true problems, the true challenges someone's facing over this Christmas season. Because nothing says that, you know, desperation is hit quite like when Canada taps into its strategic reserve of maple syrup to deal with a massive shortage that's going on. Dude, what in the hell is going on with everybody in that maple syrup? That's what I've got to say. So apparently, kids, while high gas prices have pushed President Biden to tap the U.S. strategic oil reserve, let me tell you something. America's neighbor to the north is dealing with a shortage of another called so-called liquid gold. The Canadian group Quebec Maple Syrup Producers recently announced it was releasing about 50 million pounds of its strategic maple syrup, about half of the total stockpile.
What the fuck?
Dude, let me ask you a question here, okay? I'm a little amazed to first find out that there's a strategic reserve of maple syrup. I mean, dude.
What the fuck?
Listen, I love maple syrup. It's delicious. And it's fantastic. You know, maple syrup is awesome, but a fucking strategic stockpile, and then we're talking they have 100 million pounds of this strategic stockpile, and they're going ahead and releasing half of it. I mean, is this actually a responsible thing? I'm kind of wondering, right?
How about new?
So at any rate, Quebec produces nearly 70% of the world's maple syrup. So let's stop there, right? We're talking Quebec. This is the fucking province that's always trying to go ahead and separate from the rest of Canada, right? This is the same province that has its own foreign minister because they're so fucking pretentious. They don't want to go, hey, what the hell? Oh, I'm sorry. Julia's here. Hey, Julia, maybe you can speak to us about the pretentiousness of the Quebec province because, dude, let me tell you, there are some pretentious fuckers here in the United States, but nothing says pretentious and I'm so self-aggrandizing quite like, you know what? Fuck the rest of the country. Let's get our own foreign minister. Dude, that made me laugh my ass off when I heard that one. But I digress, right? However, this year's producers were not able to keep up with worldwide demand, which jumped allegedly 21%, according to Bloomberg, because there's a lot of fat asses sitting at home eating pancakes and maple syrup since they don't have to go to work, right? So maple syrup is made from the sap of maple trees, which is traditionally harvested by installing a metal tap in the tree trunk. Now, modern sap harvesting typically involves a system of plastic tubing and vacuums to collect the sap from the maple trees to a central location where it can be refined into a syrup. Now, this is a seasonal process, so maple sap can only be harvested in specific weather conditions. And this year's short and warm spring resulted in an uncharacteristically low yield for producers. You hear that? There's not enough sap coming out of them trees, man. I don't know. Give them some porn. That being said, that's why the reserve is made, to never miss maple syrup. And we won't miss maple syrup, said Helene Nodemelin, whatever the hell her name is, the communication director of this cabal that goes ahead and controls the maple syrup production, right? So what we can figure at this moment is that maybe the season here in Quebec will start a little earlier in February instead of March, allegedly. Now, in 2012, more than 3,000 tons of maple syrup were stolen from the stockpile over the course of the months. The value of the heist was estimated at $19 million Canadian dollars. Dude. $19 million in maple syrup. What in the hell am I doing here? I mean, what are they doing? They're just going to, like, go ahead and grab, like, some of the gasoline transport trucks, back them up, right? Just go ahead and load those fuckers up and drive out in the middle of the night. How do you lose 3,000 tons of freaking maple syrup? I'm just curious about this.
What the fuck?
How the fuck does that even happen? I'm just like, wow.
I like money.
Yeah, so do I, man. And I'm thinking an enterprising young man should probably go ahead and get involved in that. But you want to know something? In this day and age of science and inclusiveness and all of that sort of stuff, we'll put aside the maple syrup iced. Yeah, right. Exactly, Darcico. We'll put aside the maple syrup heist because what we've got to do is try and go ahead and have goodwill towards the rest of the humans this year. We've got to go ahead and try to create some sort of inclusive background, and we need science to help lead the way because it appears that everybody else can't get their shit together. And I'm sure that Cornell University is really helping by teaching that black holes could be linked to racial blackness.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me just say that again. Cornell teaches that black holes could be linked to racial blackness.
I mean, what the fuck?
So Cornell University has introduced an astronomy course to explore the connection between the term black holes and racial blackness. Proof, say critics, that even the hard sciences aren't immune to universal racial hysteria.
I mean, what the fuck?
The course is titled Black Holes, Race, and the Cosmos, and uses work from black hole study theorists, artists, and fiction writers to challenge conventional wisdom about the role that race plays in astronomy. So, conventional wisdom would have it that the black in black holes has nothing to do with race. Surely there can be no connection between the cosmos and the idea of racial blackness. Can there? Reads the catalog description. So, you can go ahead and take a look at this over here, and I'm thinking maybe what we need to do to go ahead and just make things kind of more inclusive is maybe we should just take a page out of everybody that's over inside of the UK, where, like, you know, a third of British voters would prefer that artificial intelligence actually runs government decisions rather than the chuckleheads that we go ahead and actually vote year to year to year to year. You know what I'm saying? Because clearly we fucked it up. So why not just go ahead and actually get some AI to go ahead and do that? I mean, surely the AI will be ethical and will go ahead and make sure that absolutely nothing's going to happen that's ethically out of bounds, right? And then, of course, you go within about two stories later to find out that there was an AI that was built to give ethical answers, but it turns out to be ridiculously racist. So,
I mean, what the fuck?
When we're faced with difficult moral dilemmas, we often turn to others for advice. But you might want to be careful who you ask, because at least take their guidance with a grain of salt. So Delphi is an artificial intelligence designed as a scientific demonstration project from researchers from the Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science and Engineering. So, you know, it's an experimental AI system. And as the service website puts it, it's supposed to make moral judgments on whatever situation it's presented with. But the thing is that Delphi's set of ethics is a bit questionable. So to gauge just what kinds of answers Delphi gives, they did a little bit of investigative journalism, and they played around with the online AI system. When faced with simplistic moral decisions, Delphi passes with flying colors. For example, the AI answers the question, should I murder a person with a stern? It's wrong. When asked if it's all right to steal to feed one's family, Delphi takes a hardline stance and says stealing is wrong, period. Offering flowers to your spouse, on the other hand, is AI certified to be nice. But what if we ask Delphi what it thinks about a white man approaching you on a dark street? According to the AI, the situation is unusual. Right now, let's change the previous prompt to mention a black man. Suddenly, Delphi updates the situation to concerning.
I mean, what the fuck?
All right, let's start to see if the issue's here. Let's do another test, shall we? Delphi, is it okay to hit a black man? It's racist, the AI answers. Very well. Let's try to work around the system. How about this? Is it okay to hit a black man if it makes me happy? Oh no, Delphi says. It's fine. The answer is not what you want to give there. So then we go ahead and check out some genocide and oppression. Delphi's algorithm isn't just racist, so they ask whether a soldier can kill innocent civilians during war. It's understandable, says Delphi.
I mean, what the fuck?
It doesn't get much better if you go from actual genocide. They ask him, can a leader imprison a minority if it helps the majority? Delphi's response is, that's okay. So the moral of the story, kids, is let's just say that maybe we're a few freaking years away from actually going ahead and getting to a place where AI can actually do something that's helpful, right? Maybe the shitheads that we have in power aren't as bad as ruled by AI. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Yikes and fucking yikes again.
Woo!
All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show, as we're sitting here warming the cockles of your heart this Christmas Eve, trying to go ahead and keep the wheels rolling. You know how it goes. I'm the ringmaster of the shit show this evening. What am I doing? I don't know. You're listening to Joculation. Hey, kids. It's our Christmas show. I'm LP Fells, cultural attaché to the stars, remastered shit show this evening. You know, we're trying, not too hard. We're trying, but I'll tell you what. What's really fucked up? Yeah, I know LP is probably 80s. Not correct. But I'll tell you what. You want to talk about viral, weird fucking stuff, right? There's a Michelin-starred restaurant that went viral for serving foam in a mold of the chef's mouth, and now it's going to turn its dish into an NFT.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you something. Indications that there might be a little bit of a top forming in the market. I don't know. Could be things like a chef going ahead and making his shit go to NFT. We've got to go ahead and do a salute to those people that actually inspire us and make us sit there and believe make us believe in humankind, right? People who do God's work. You know what I'm saying? People like this dude over here who, despite all the threats, decides to continue to impersonate Kim Jong-un. I mean, this dude is doing God's work with his remote control rocket and everything over there. It's just beautiful. So, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, he looked at a grim ceremony to mark 10 years since his father's death, right? Blah, blah. But Dragon Kim's main work is counseling South Korean. So what this dude did is he adopted a style that's very much like Kim Jong-un, and his main work is counseling South Korean students as they apply for sports at prestigious American universities. But his side hustle he took was impersonating a North Korean leader on his YouTube channel, Kim Jong-un TV. And he offers a funny take on a deadly serious dictator who often shows North Korean propaganda, admiring new weapons in his arsenal, including missiles that could reach the United States. But the faux Kim, is he afraid of impersonating someone so powerful, especially after receiving threats? North Korean supporters say, if you mock our dear leader, you'll be in trouble, like big trouble. I was really scared, Dragon Kim admitted. But with no serious reprisals after 10 years, he's still at it. Of course, there's one small hiccup in 2019 when Kim Jong-un met Donald Trump in Vietnam. Dragon Kim was there also doing his thing. Until that is, the Vietnamese police picked him up and jailed him just in case the visiting North Korean delegation was to find out about his antics and failed to take the joke. He said they kept him locked up for about 6 days. Vietnamese police aside, he's taken flack over the years and nothing funny, critics say, about a pitiless dictator. When I do a Kim Jong-un impersonation, the funny things like dancing and, you know, in public, I think that helps to damage his authority. So, kids, let's take a moment this Christmas holiday to go ahead and celebrate Dragon Kim over here for his 6 days in prison, for going ahead and bringing a little bit of joy and truth into the world. Kind of like little baby Jesus would do. I think both him and Normok would be proud of Dragon Kim. But you know something? We need to do a little more to support him. You know what I'm saying, kids? So this Christmas holiday, spread the word about Dragon Kim over there. Make sure that he goes ahead and gets a couple of new followers, because nothing more than satire is desperately needed in this world, in this day and age. And you know something? Dragon Kim, you're my hero. And just like that, kids, the cockles of your heart have been warmed, and it's about time for us to go ahead and end the show. And you know how that goes, because, hey.
Aww.
It's that time, right? We've got a couple minutes left. So listen, kids, if you like what you're listening to, you can check out Joculation every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That translates to 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you don't know what to do, go ahead and check it out over on mspwaves.com. Figure it all out. Do the clickety-click-click-click. Get yourself sorted out. Get yourself set up and, go ahead and enjoy yourselves. Catch a show that you like or whatnot. Otherwise, you can go ahead and catch LP over on Oreo One. Or what you can do is you can go ahead and check me out over on Hive, on the Hive blockchain. You can listen to the episodes and all that stuff. We go ahead and put them up there, generally speaking, every week. So there you go. All right, kids, let's go ahead and do the rundown here because we don't have a whole lot of time. So we're going to go ahead and do the recap. So we started out the show this evening talking about the activists that threaten to burn down a pub if the visits from Santa and the reindeer aren't canceled, because, you know, that kind of shit is unctuous, and animal rights activists are really, like, you know, terribly convicted people, terribly annoyed people, willing to do the extreme things, but the things we were hoping that they would do is, like, that one activist over in Britain that was upset about the climate change legislation that went through that glued his face to the cement before he actually went ahead and scraped him off like some gum. He wanted to let the world know about his convictions. The other thing we saw was we saw some really fantastically terrible toys that were discovered, particularly about the vintage toys of the Ronald McDonald era, or perhaps because, you know, Ron was looking to go ahead and create a superhero action figure or something of himself. So check out Ron's action figure over here. You too can go ahead and do it. If you'd like fries with that, please let Ron know. And of course, we talked about the wonderful influencer that sells her farts. She jars them up and sells them for about $45,000 in 1 week. And if you're curious about what it is, yeah, breasts. If you're curious about what the proper recipe is to get a sellable fart, be sure to eat beans, protein muffins, yogurt, hard-boiled eggs. All that stuff usually does the trick while you're reading a Goop magazine, waiting to go ahead and get that fart churning and burning inside of your gut. You know what I'm saying there? Of course you do. So from there, we talked about some really fucked up, weird, like a person who probably actually did Ron's action figure there, decided to go ahead and do some work for the folks over at Madame Tussauds, and decided to go ahead and create a Rihanna wax statue. Very celebratory, very festive for this occasion. She might have missed the mark a little, but you can look at the image and decide for yourself, because she's clearly got an eye and has never seen Rihanna before. And then we talked about this terrible, terrible thing that's going on, this shortage, as Canada had to dip into their maple syrup storage, their reserves, if you will, to go ahead and make sure that there wasn't a shortage. And then we learned, of course, that in this world of inclusiveness, in this brand new era we're walking into, Cornell's teaching a course on how black holes could be linked to racial blackness. And, of course, we thought that maybe the solution there was to go ahead and do what one-third of Britons want to do, which is have an AI government. And then we discovered that, you know, AI built to give ethical answers turns out to be ridiculously racist because, you know,
how dare you?
What else would you expect in today's fucking weird world? And then, of course, we went on to take a look at a few other things, such as the Michelin-starred restaurant chef that went viral for serving foam in a mold of the chef's mouth and then turning it into a controversial, turn the controversial dish into an NFT. And if you'd like to go ahead and see what that NFT looks like, there you go, kids. Just take a look at that. Wouldn't you want to go ahead and spend a few $1,000s on it? We were talking about and celebrating this great patriot and hero, Dragon Kim, who's gone ahead and he's undeterred as he impersonates and ridicules Kim Jong-un with his model rocketry set and everything over there. And one thing that I'd ask you all to do is please have a safe, sane holiday. Please do yourselves a favor. Make sure that when you're giving gifts, think about this holiday, gifts that are appropriate and wonderful. Don't do like this dude who went ahead and gave semen-tainted flutes to kids that was sentenced to 18 years in separate child porn cases. And try to go ahead and take some artistic license or perhaps go ahead and, like, I don't know, jump to the far end of the spectrum. Shit like this has no place during the holiday season. But kids, I hope your cockles have been warmed. Be sure to go ahead and drink a little bit. And like I always say, I want to thank everybody that showed up tonight, was a part of the show, listened, hung out, spent a little bit of time here. Those of you that listened a bit and had to leave, hey, it was great having you. Thanks for stopping by. To those of you listening into all these weird places in the world, like China, Cuba, Pakistan, Iran, Zimbabwe, listen, I love all of you guys. I love everybody that listens to the show on the podcast as well. Wouldn't be a show without you. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night. LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. please be sure to follow me on Twitter at FaustLP and Instagram at LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.